The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, it's good to be back. I hope you're doing well. On my Facebook poll earlier today, talking about getting the COVID vaccination, 78% a resounding no, I'm not going to get it. 13% said yes, and 9% said maybe. So I'm going to go through a bunch of COVID vaccination stuff. I'm not going to get down into the nitty-gritty. I'm going to deal with some numbers and trends and what's happening there relative to what's going on with COVID in the nation. And the vaccination stuff and some questions there. And interesting to see how the government's going to continue to manipulate whatever they can in order to maintain whatever control they can. But of course, the thing that everybody's talking about, forget COVID, forget Biden, forget the border crisis that's just exploding down in the southern bottom of the country. Forget all that stuff. Because apparently in the world, Fox News or wherever you want to look, nothing matters more than Meghan and Prince Harry, if he still has that title, and their sit-down conversation with Oprah. So here's how I'd like to address it. Okay, here's what I have to say about that interview. So here, check that out. Okay, let's just do this. Go ahead. Okay, that's enough of that. God Save the Queen. Yes, we ripped that song off. And that's all I have to say about the Meghan Markle, Prince Harry conversation. Because really? Really? We have nothing better to do with our time? Okay, here's what's going on. Setting that aside for obvious reasons. So Facebook poll, would you take the vaccination? One of three now, well, two, and then the Johnson & Johnson coming out. Would you take it? Yes, no, maybe. No, resounding 78%. Yes, 13%. Maybe 9%. In the United States, the U.S. reported a 12% decline in new cases of COVID-19 last week, while vaccinations accelerated to a record 2.2 million shots per day, according to a Reuters analysis. New infections have dropped for 8 weeks in a row, averaging 60,000 new cases per day. And Fauci has something about that, so we'll talk about that. So we're now averaging 60,000 new cases per day for the week ended March 7th last week. Deaths linked to COVID-19 fell 18% last week to 11,800, the lowest since late November, and averaging 1,686 per day. And I know all of this stuff, I put an asterisk by it. Because if you die of whatever and you have COVID, they count that as a COVID death. So I don't know that we'll ever, because this is just the world we live in now. And so I try to fight to find the truth, but it's becoming more elusive all the time. So who knows what the actual numbers are? I don't know that we'll ever actually know what the numbers are, because I don't know that anybody actually wants to know the truth anymore. Despite the positive trends, health officials have warned that the country could see a resurgence, of course, in cases as more infectious variants of the virus have been found in nearly every state. We'll talk about that. Dr. Anthony Fauci, or as I like to call him, Pope Fauci, which I think I got from my buddy Steve Dace, the top U.S. infectious disease expert, and I would add the highest paid man in the federal government, even more than the president, about $434,000 this year, by the way, has urged the nation to keep most pandemic restrictions in place until new cases fall to under $10,000 per day. Well, when was the last time we had less than 10,000 COVID cases reported in a day? That was on March 22nd of last year. So essentially a year ago, where we had just shy of 10,000 cases reported as it was expanding. So the last time we saw that was March 22nd last year. Pope Fauci says he wants to get below 10,000 cases per day. We're currently averaging 60,000 new cases per day. And so isn't that convenient? Yesterday, March 7th, 58,620 cases reported that we know of. Okay, so that's what's going on, kind of the trend lines, okay? Now, if you look at, there's a website that's great for a lot of things, but it's worldometers.info. You can check that out yourself, worldometers.info. I'll link to it on the Facebook live feed right now, so you can check that out if you'd like. A lot of different ways to look at the coronavirus situation, both around the world and in the country and by state. So total cases is leveling off. You see that in the chart. Daily new cases, we had a bump. This is early. You go way back. Okay, so this goes all the way back to like March 18th of last year. So you had a little bump there, and then you had another bump. You go down and then back up. We had another bump around mid-July last year, and then it came down. And then up it went until January 8th, just a few weeks ago, or the daily case count, according to this, which is a conglomeration of CDC and a couple other places, was all the way up at 308,000. Now we go from 308,000 cases in one day, allegedly, on January 8th, down to yesterday, we were at 58,620, and today, as of right now, 43,469. So when you look at the chart like that, you'll see that it's come down drastically in the last 30 days. And the obvious reason is Joe Biden, right? And so then you've got total deaths in the country, but you have to look at new daily deaths. So it spiked early around April 21st when we were at about 2,700. You remember we were trying to, are we going to hit 3,000 a day? Remember all that? Then it came down, then up a little bit in July. And then it really spiked overall, was the highest on January 12th, 4,513 reported deaths. Remember, you could get hit by a car and die, and if you have COVID, they count it. Okay, remember that. That's just part of the crazy stuff going on out there. So now we're down yesterday it was down to 715 in a day. So that's from a high of 4,513. So obviously that's dropped off drastically since early January. And obviously the reason, once again, tongue firmly planted in my cheek, Joe Biden. Right? Thank you, President Biden. So let's look at vaccinations, because that's, you're wondering about herd, you should be thinking about herd immunity, which is there's people like me that got it and got over it, right? And so now I should be mostly immune to it. Now, am I going to be immune from the variants? We don't know that yet. So you got people like me and a lot of you that have had it and got over it, and flu would be worse for me than COVID was. The last time I had the flu, it was way worse than my experience with COVID, and I recently turned 55, so it's not like I'm 20. But we'll look at vaccinations. We'll look at the adverse incident report and how many people have died from it. We'll compare that to flu vaccination deaths, because there's a big difference there. And then this will be laughable. CDC issues guidelines for COVID-19 vaccinated populations, which made me think, what's the point of getting the vax if you can't change your life? We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be back with you. Had a chance to spend a few days with my mother last week, which was nice. She's still just rocking and rolling at 89 years of age. We went to Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg in Tennessee, which was kind of sad because if you've ever been there, there's so many tiny little businesses and restaurants and shops and this, that. And you could tell it was kind of dead. It's been dead for a while. None of the shows are open until April. And I just thought, man, just more devastation from COVID and our response to it. And again, I've been saying this since about last April. I really think we brought an atom bomb to a knife fight. And we've got a spirit of fear in this country because most people are lost. And then manipulation and politicization. It's just been one big opportunity for all kinds of people and organizations and worldviews to jump in and use it for their own means, mostly nefarious. So I did a poll earlier today on my Facebook page and just asked people, are you going to take it? No, yes, maybe. The resounding majority, 78%, said no. 13% said yes. 9% said maybe. And I think that's probably about right nationwide. Right now we've got, this is from Fox News, the U.S. hit a record on Saturday for single-day doses administered at 2.9 million. Andy Slavitt, the White House COVID-19 response team senior advisor, claimed the pace marks the fastest worldwide, because Biden. The country is now vaccinating a seven-day average of nearly 2.2 million Americans, up from 900,000 when the Biden administration first took office, Slavitt added. Like, it's gone up because Biden took off. Now, we wouldn't even have these things if Trump hadn't done Operation Warp Speed, but we can't talk about that. Shh, quiet. They'll cancel the show. The news surfaced shortly before the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, announced eagerly awaited guidelines. I'll get to this in a minute. For practices considered safe for fully vaccinated individuals. So if you're fully vaccinated, got your two shots, man, you're freedom. You're like William Wallace on the table before they disembowel the freedom. Not quite. I'll get to that in a second. According to data compiled by the CDC, 9.2% of the country's population is fully vaccinated, while more than 58.8 million people have received at least one dose. All right, so 58.8 million people out of about 335 million, okay? So you're at about 15% there. What are they going to do? Let's say that the poll on my little old Facebook page holds. What are they going to do if 60, 70% of Americans say, no thanks, and we keep getting cases? What are they going to do? Well, I can tell you what they're not going to do anytime soon is they're not going to relinquish control, especially those on the left. You've got five states, Texas, Mississippi, Iowa, Montana, North Dakota, have ended or will soon end statewide mask mandates. There's a bunch of others, 11 other states that didn't have them. Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Missouri, Nebraska, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, and Tennessee that never required face covering statewide. Now, individual businesses and establishments can't. So as that happens, and any time it goes up, because, you know, what did Biden say? Somebody said the other day, I can't forget the word they used to describe Governor Abbott in Texas, Neanderthal, something, right? Remember that? You're a Neanderthal. God, sure he is. So there's that, okay? Now, for the people that have gotten this, so there's a couple different things. There's an adverse incident report collected by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Food and Drug Administration. It's called VAERS, V-A-E-R-S, Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. Okay, so this is from an article in the Epoch Times. Adverse incident report shows 966 deaths following vaccination for COVID-19, which is horrible, right? But the question, if we're going to think honestly here, is, okay, you can throw the number at me, but how many millions and millions of people have actually been vaccinated? So is that, we got to look at it in context. And then what's the percentage and how does that compare to other things we do, like influenza or flu vaccines? Is it more deadly than any of the other vaccine? Because there aren't any vaccines that I'm aware of that have a 0% impact in terms of death, sadly. Adverse side effects, the chief amongst them, you know, being death. But so you got to keep that in mind. So you got to read things and remember to filter all the time because you're being moved in one direction or another all the time because we just don't do journalism anymore. According to adverse incidents reports collected, 966 individuals have died after having received an mRNA vaccine for COVID-19. That's through February 19th. Okay, I'm going to give you an updated number in a minute. Between December 14th and February 19th, 19,769 reports were made to the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, VAERS, following immunizations with either the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccine. At this time, VAERS data is not available after February 19, but this article is, you know, maybe a day or so old, so I've got updated numbers. The 966 deaths represent 5% of the total number of adverse event reports. So of all the adverse events, side effects, 5% of them resulted in death, okay? Of those who died, 86 died on the same day they got the shot. An additional 129 died within one day. An additional 97 died within 2 days and 61 within 3 weeks. A total of 514 died within a week, 173 died within 7 to 13 days, and so on. 85% of deaths occurred in individuals over 60, which you would expect. The older we get, the more susceptible we are to any of these problems. Below 60, there were 5 deaths among those aged 20 to 29, 8 aged 30 to 39, and so forth. Neither of the vaccines are FDA approved. Rather, they have emergency use approval. They represent a departure from traditional vaccines in that they do not use any part of the suspected pathogen to stimulate the immune system, but rather nucleoside messenger RNA, which is a whole other topic, by the way, which from everything I've read doesn't alter your DNA. That's the problem here. And by just saying that, I know that I just angered some number of you. Yes, it does, Steve. You're ignorant. Okay, that's the problem that we're dealing with this across the board is you've got all these different opinions, conflicting and politicized. That's why it's so difficult to find the truth. Lord help us. Dr. Christine Perrone, head of infectious disease at Hospital de Garches in France, stated in a complaint filed in Europe, quote, the first vaccines they are offering us are not vaccines. They're gene therapy products. They inject nucleic acids that will cause our own cells to produce elements of the virus. That's a true statement. The death rate following COVID-19 vaccination is much higher than that following influenza vaccine. And that's something you have to look at. That's very important. The CDC's data allows only a ballpark estimation of the rate of deaths following flu vaccination. VAERS reports that in the calendar year 2019, there were 45 deaths following vaccinations. That's vaccinations for flu, okay? To provide context, in 2018, there were 46 deaths. In 2017, it reports 20 deaths. Now, the thing about VAERS is that it's not a solid system, okay? It's just a self-reporting system. You don't have to report. As of February 19th, COVID vaccinations had been given with 966 deaths, which means that's a rate of 0.0023%. If you look at the influenza death rate, influenza flu vaccine shots, okay, in 2019, that rate was 0.0000265, 0.0000265. COVID vaccine rate at the 966 death mark was 0.0023. So an enormous difference, right? 4 decimal places versus 2 decimal places. That's a big deal when you're talking about a percentage. Okay, so obviously right now, COVID vaccinations are more likely to cause death than a flu vaccination. But again, this is all early. So now you've got some updated numbers. Through March 1st, as opposed to February 19th, there have been 1,381 deaths that have been reported to VAERS, which brings the rate down to, based on all the vaccinations that were added since February 19th, 0.0018. So that's down from 0.0023. So that's an improvement. But do you think that's an improvement enough for Pope Fauci and all of those folks to let go of the reins of anything? They're going to fight like all get out to remain in control because that is their nature, both as a liberal and as a fallen human. More on that when we come back. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. All right, continuing to wade through what's going on with COVID-19 and the vaccinations. Yes, no, maybe so. On my own personal page, Facebook page, 78% said, no way, Steve, I'm not getting the vaccination. 13% said, yep, and several of those had already gotten it. And 9% were maybe. I would put myself in the maybe category right now, leaning towards no. It's way too early. Okay, usually you got 3-4 years of data from people that they've done these vaccinations, clinical trials, yada, 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 before they release it out there. Because they know they're going to have tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people are going to get it. And the most that we have, I think, when they did clinical trials on these vaccines for COVID, started what? Late summer? And so you've got 6 months of data, 8 months of data as to what happens long term. That's not long term. That's not even a year yet. So to me, I'm like, it's way too early. And most people are saying no, at least on my Facebook page, which doesn't surprise me because most people on my Facebook page are going to be conservatives. But you had 74 million plus people voted for Trump, and I bet you most of those are going to say no. And so what's the government going to do when the most you can get to from a voluntary perspective, voluntary, if we believe in that anymore, what if it's you're only going to get 50%, 60% of the U.S. populace? And why we're vaccinating people under the age of 20, I have no idea. That really upsets me and shocks me. But, you know, there's control there, and it's just crazy. So there's this. So you get the vaccination. You got both your shots, okay? You got both shots. And you're thinking, man, I can, this is great. I'm going to get back to normal. I'm going to do well here. I don't have to worry about stuff, and I'm going to get back to normal life. And the more people that get vaccinated, we're just going to get back to normal life. Isn't that going to be wonderful? Okay, well, then there's this. The Centers for Disease Control Monday released highly anticipated guidance on practices considered safe for those who are fully vaccinated against the novel coronavirus relating to gatherings, quarantining, and testing. So, what? You'd think I got fully vaccinated. These things are 95, 98% effective. And so, why can't I just go back to my regular life? Right? That's what you're thinking. But strike that. You're being logical. You got to stop that. According to data compiled by the CDC, 9.2% of the U.S. population is now fully vaccinated, and 17.7% have received at least one dose. 2 weeks after the second dose, or the single dose for those receiving a vaccine developed by Johnson & Johnson, fully vaccinated persons can safely gather inside with other fully vaccinated people without wearing face masks or physical distancing, the CDC said, calling these indoor gatherings likely low risk. You see what's happening here? I'm going to just take that for a second. What's happening here is you've got, we are resegregating society. We thought we desegregated, and we had for a while. Now we're resegregating. We're doing that with critical race theory, intersectionality, and we're doing it with this. Vaccinated, not vaccinated. We are segregating society into all these little silos. And what do you think happens with that? As you increase segregation, this is going to get worse and worse across the board. We set up all your color, the color of your skin, your intersectionality, which means if you're a black female lesbian, those are three strikes against you. So we need you actually are a little higher in the intersectionality thing, and society dumps on you more because you got three strikes against you as opposed to just one. Let's say you're a black male. That's only one strike. But if you're a black male homosexual, that's two strikes. If you're a black female lesbian, that's three strikes. Okay, if you're a male, that's better. If you're a white male, you're golden, baby. Yeah, I mean, everything's going your way. That's intersectionality, okay? And this is all playing into it. Now we're adding this vaccination stuff. So calling these indoor gatherings, if you're hanging out with other fully vaccinated people, you know, because you both got a yellow, perhaps you got a yellow star on your shoulder, that's likely low risk. Also, indoor gatherings involving fully vaccinated people and unvaccinated people, you know, those guys, from a single household at low risk for severe COVID-19 with no mask use presents a low risk of virus transmission. Okay, so now we're talking about vaccinated and unvaccinated people from the same house. As such, if an unvaccinated person is at high risk for severe COVID-19 because they're older, they have comorbidities, they're obese, whatever, then the agency advises mask use, physical distancing, and outdoor visits or gatherings in spaces with proper ventilation. Okay, now I'm going to get to this question. Can vaccinated people still spread the virus? Okay, I'm going to get to that too, because we're going to deal with reality here. As the size of gatherings increases and involves additional households, the risk also increases. In gatherings with fully vaccinated people and unvaccinated people, see, we got two groups there. Let's segregate. From multiple households, everyone should wear a mask and practice distancing per the guidelines. Even you, if you're fully vaccinated and you're with unvaccinated people in multiple households, what, you're wearing a mask? Why? Why do you need to wear a mask? You really can't get it. And I'll share this with you in a minute. You really can't spread it. So why are we putting you in a mask? Further, regardless of vaccination status, everyone should avoid medium to large size gatherings, you know, like the Super Bowl, and follow local guidance on related restrictions. If fully vaccinated people decide to partake, they should wear masks, practice distancing, and wash often. To which I say, why? Additionally, going to the gym and dining inside poses a smaller infection risk for fully vaccinated people. Therefore, in public areas, fully vaccinated people should still wear fitted masks and practice physical distancing and other mitigation measures like hand hygiene, covering coughs, avoiding crowds. As a precaution, the CDC says, so what benefit do you have from getting vaccinated? Well, I won't get sick. Okay, you won't get sick. You got a 95-98% chance of not getting sick. But you can't go live your regular life. Can't do that. And as we see suicide rates climbing, tragically, depression, anxiety, alcoholism, drug use, abuse, on down the road. What? So the only benefit is I don't get really sick myself? That's the deal? So here's some questions. Can vaccinated people still spread the coronavirus? What a great question. I found this in theprint.in. Deborah Fuller is a microbiologist at the University of Washington School of Medicine working on coronavirus vaccines. Number one, does vaccination completely prevent infection? For those of you in the yes column, okay, let's talk about this. The short answer is no. You can still get infected after you've been vaccinated, but your chances of getting seriously ill are almost zero. Okay, you don't want to get seriously ill. Certainly you don't want to die. So vaccination, that's great. Okay, good. Many people think vaccines work like a shield blocking a virus from infecting cells altogether, but in most cases, a person who gets vaccinated is protected from disease, not necessarily infection. Each person's immune system is a little different, so when a vaccine is 95% effective, which they're saying about these, that just means 95% of the people who receive the vaccine won't get sick. These people could be completely protected from infection, or they could be getting infected but remain asymptomatic, because their immune system eliminates the virus very quickly. So you still get it, but it's not very bad. The remaining 5% of vaccinated people can become infected and get sick, but are extremely unlikely to be hospitalized. So odds are, no big deal for you. if you're vaccinated. Does infection always mean transmission? So you could be vaccinated and infected, but it does, you don't get sick. So here's the question. Can you still transmit? Transmission happens when enough viral particles from an infected person get into the body of an uninfected person. In theory, anyone infected with the coronavirus could potentially transmit it, but a vaccine will reduce the chance of this happening. Okay, so that's good, right? In general, if vaccination doesn't completely prevent infection, it will significantly reduce the amount of virus coming out of your nose and mouth, a process called shedding, and shorten the time that you should shed the virus. That's a big deal. A person who sheds less virus is less likely to transmit it to someone else. This seems to be the case with coronavirus vaccines. Okay, that's good. So if I can't transmit it and I can't get it, I'm not going to get sick, really. But then you tell me I got to wear a mask and all the other stuff? What's up with that? Less coronavirus means less chance of spreading it. And if the amount of virus in your body is low enough, the probability of transmitting it may reach almost zero. So if you get the two shots of the vaccination, the odds of you getting sick are almost nil. And the odds of you transmitting are very, 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 very extremely low as well. So CDC, Pope Fauci, why do I have to live? If I got the vaccines, both of them, both shots, which I didn't, but if I got them, then why are you telling me when I go out in society, I still got to put a face diaper on? I can't get sick, seriously, and I can't transmit. Almost impossible. So what's up with that? Got to think through this, right? That's pretty scary. Number three. Oh, here we go. What about the new coronavirus variants? What a great opportunity, isn't it? New variants. What a great opportunity to keep everybody locked down until we can get the great reset in place. New variants of coronavirus have emerged in recent months, and recent studies show that vaccines are less effective against certain ones like B1351 variant, first identified in South Africa. Every time SARS-CoV-2 replicates, it gets new mutations. In recent months, researchers have found, by the way, this is like the flu shot, right? That you go get the flu shot and you're like, yeah, you know, you got a decent chance of not getting the flu, but there's a bunch of variants out there, so we don't know for sure. It's our best guess. That's the flu shot. It's the best guess each year, okay? So I'm going to get into this and keep going through this article. Very, very helpful, important information here, and helps us to continue to question what's going on with our government, which is all about power and control. Which, by the way, we talk about when we do shows on abuse victims. Abuse is always about power and control. Well, are we being abused by our government, state, local, and federal? You bet. We'll be right back. A lifeline. Is that the coronavirus vaccine? Is that what that is? Is that what we're talking about? I took a Facebook poll earlier today. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you. Took a Facebook poll earlier today. Would you get the coronavirus vaccine? 78% are resounding NO. 13% said yes. 9% were on the fence. And so what happens nationwide if those numbers hold? If we're at 60%, let's say 50% of adults in America said no. No thanks. I'll wait another couple years and see what happens. What are they going to do? What's the government going to do? Because they're not easily going to let go of control, right? Power and control. Just like the power and control wheel when we're talking about abuse. We've done a lot of shows about abuse and spousal abuse. It's all about power and control. And you see all these things in the power and control wheel. Go look it up. And you look at that and you start going, oh, this is sounding kind of familiar when it comes to the way our government's operating. Because, again, bring in your biblical worldview. You understand the nature of mankind and our fallenness, what we're given to. We're given to depravity. When we have power, we tend to abuse it. And so you have a Romans 1 understanding of the world. We suppress the truth. We replace it with a lie. At the end of Romans 1, we're clapping about one another's sin. Because then we can all get away with everything all the time. Let's all get in on it. That's why we got to kill God, although there's no such thing as an atheist. Back to Romans 1. And a lot of this stuff starts to make sense. And then the question becomes, what are you going to do about it? Right? That's what a lot of people continue. What do we do about it? Well, resist where you can, speak the truth where you can. But know this, there is a grand narrative at play in the world. It's God's grand narrative. It will come to pass. You won't slow it down. You won't change it. You won't alter it. You certainly won't stop it. And the world's trajectory until Jesus comes back is downward. It just is. Now, I'm not advocating. I used to, but I don't anymore. Kind of an abandonment theology. I read the end of the book, and I know at the end we win. So who cares what happens now? Well, we should all care. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And second is like it, Jesus said. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we live in the real world. Things are happening to our neighbors. And so we should care, including what's going on here with the coronavirus situation. My buddy Bill, who's very knowledgeable on Facebook Live, said clinical trials for vaccines, very large, relatively speaking, and now man's a data points, patients for safety. Long-term safety is still something to have a conversation about. Yeah, long-term safety, that's my concern, is that this is a relatively short window of coronavirus vaccine results. So we have, what, 6-8 months of data with a relatively small sample size, 35,000 people, whatever it was. So to me, relative to vaccines of the past, and the ones that we use today, I'm like, yeah, that's still pretty small data set relative to others. And so me, I'm on the sidelines going, no thanks, I had it already, not the vaccine coronavirus. I'm like, no, I'm going to sit here and watch and see what happens, okay? So I'm coming back to this. What about the new coronavirus variants? Which is where I left off in the last segment. New variants of coronavirus have emerged in recent months, like the one first identified in South Africa, B1351. Every time SARS replicates, it gets new mutations. In recent months, researchers have found new variants that are more infective, meaning a person needs to breathe in less to become infected, so they're more infectious, okay? And other variants that are more transmissible, meaning they increase the amount of virus a person sheds. So how does this relate to vaccines and transmission? For the South Africa variant, vaccines still provide greater than 85% protection from getting severely ill with COVID-19. But when you count mild and moderate cases, they provide at best only about 50 to 60% protection. But do we want to train wreck our economy and throw our kids in jail for a year now? We've kicked our kids out of school for a year now. Because you have a 40 or 50% chance of being mildly ill? Talk about idolatry of self. I don't want to be mildly ill. So I don't care what happens to 76 million kids between kindergarten and the end of college. That's just idolatry to the nth degree. It's so selfish. And shame on the vast majority of our teachers. Why isn't there, maybe there is. If you know this, please let me know. Steve@thestevenobleshow.com. Is there a growing group of teachers out there that have organized and are coming out and saying, we need to get back into the school. Our kids are suffering. This is not about us. The science says the kids aren't giving it to us. And even if we get it, the odds are we're going to be just fine. I might be sick for 10 days. I might be out for 2 weeks. But we got to do this for our kids. We talk about for the children. We ain't opening schools for the children. We're keeping them shuttered for the teachers. But not all teachers. I know that. Man, this means at least 40% of vaccinated people will still have a strong enough infection and enough virus in their body to cause at least moderate disease. It's talking about the variants, okay? If vaccinated people have more virus in their bodies and it takes less of that virus to infect another person, there will be a higher probability a vaccinated person could transmit these new strains of the coronavirus. If all goes well, vaccines will soon reduce the rate of severe disease and death worldwide. But reduce it to what? It won't be zero. And are they just going to keep saying that? Oh, we had 6,000 new cases and 27 people died. That's just unacceptable. Because all of a sudden, all the liberals and progressives are very pro-life. Did you notice that? All of a sudden, they're very pro-life. We can't allow anybody to die. Unless, of course, they're in the womb. Then you can butcher them at will. But and you wonder what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. And God's been storing up his wrath this whole time. I mean, the only thing keeping me from absolute death and destruction right now is the fact that I'm in Christ. Other than that, I should be in hell right now. And God's storing up his wrath. Man, if that doesn't disturb you, it should. But because of the emergence of new variants, vaccinated people still have the potential to shed and spread the coronavirus to other people, vaccinated or otherwise. This means it will likely take much longer for vaccines to reduce transmission and for populations to reach herd immunity than if these new variants had never emerged. Exactly how long that will take is a balance between how effective vaccines are against emerging strains and how transmissible and infectious these new strains are. Okay, so that's from another article. Can vaccinated people still spread the coronavirus? Not much. Okay? Not much. So then, if you still got to wear a mask and do all that mess, why get vaccinated? If it's not going to change your lifestyle, it's just going to keep you from getting seriously ill. But you're still going to be locked up. I'm looking at the government going, why? Well, what do you care? Let me go. And look, the fact that I just said that should point you to a very dark reality. I'm talking about our federal government here in the United States of America and saying, let me go. That shouldn't even be a part of my vocabulary, that I have to look at my government and say, hey, would you guys, can you let me go now? Can you let me go? Can I go do what I want to do? Can I make decisions for myself? Can I experience liberty and freedom? And my neighbors as well? You want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. You don't want to wear a mask? Don't wear a mask. You don't want to be around people that don't wear a mask? Don't be around them. You want to shelter at home until you die? Go ahead. That's up to you. I think it's foolish and fearful. But welcome to the United States of America. If that's what you want to do, do it. But now we're, because of critical race theory, it's all about your skin color, intersectionality. How many strikes do you have against you in a world run by white men? So if you're a black female lesbian, that's three things, three strikes against you. Intersectionality, those three things intersect. And we need to help you more against white patriarchy with men. And now we're segregating based on mask, no mask, vaccinated, not vaccinated. And all this is it's just increasing hatred and division, animosity, unforgiveness, bitterness, and the country, united we stand, divided we fall. It will fall. As we segregate, we're going back. We're going back into the Jim Crow days here. Because if you walk in somewhere and you don't wear a mask, that's like, hey, we got a water fountain over here for you non-maskers, right? Or for you non-vaccinated people who obviously don't love your neighbor and obviously don't understand Romans 13, you so-called Christians, because you're not submitting to the government. It's just bad theology and misunderstanding and the devil's playground all around you. And the only way through it, the only way I don't lose my mind is because of Christ. It's the only way. It's the only way I can go, okay, I'm gonna push back from the table. And when I walk into an insane asylum, I expect people to act crazy. Okay, what's crazy? Crazy is being out of touch with reality. What is reality? Reality is that which is true. Well, what is true? Okay, Pontius Pilate, good question. The author of truth is what is true. What he says, what he decreed, his principles from gravity to the moral law is what's true. And when people reject the moral law and they reject his word and reject his existence, they're going to act crazy, which is what you see. So what's the ultimate answer? Steve, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Well, the number one answer is you got to see more people come out of craziness to embrace and live out reality, which means they have to be born again. That's it. That's the ultimate change. You want to get somebody to go from pro-abort to pro-life? Imagine what happens, and many of you know this already, when Jesus enters the picture and enters your heart and enters your brain, then you begin to see clearly. You come out of the insane asylum, which is the world, the flesh, and the devil, and you see the truth. I can see clearly now. The day has come, right? Can you hear the song in your head? Do, 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 do. Okay, cool. Right? And that's what's going on. Cling to Christ and his word. Understand the truth. Engage for the sake of your neighbors. But don't sell your joy down the river for a bowl of stew over politics and COVID and all this other stuff. Christ died to give you so much more than fear and worry. You can be free of all of that. You can actually be without fear. You can be without stress. It's hard to maintain that. But be anxious for nothing. That's actually possible, but only through Christ. And I don't have to worry about what happens on this world because it's just a tiny little dot in my existence. I get to look forward to paradise forever and ever. Do you? Hey, I just started a new Daily Dose series today in Galatians, so we're going to go through Galatians. Just text the word DOSE to 66866. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.